The Church of Satan recommends the following films. Blue Velvet.
Oh.
Blade Runner.
What?
Fantasia.
No.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Why?
The original Bedazzled. The Wicker Man. And Citizen Kane. Which is one of my favorite movies.
I like the second Bedazzled and the first Willy Wonka. Is that okay?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I want to go off and kick off with some robot news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it used to be called Unpopular Science, but that was too long. So Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse.
We are.
And it's coming this year any moment now.
Yeah, 2015 is the year that robots are becoming self-aware. Yep. It's going to start out of Korea.
Yep.
And South Korea, to be specific.
Most specifically South Korea. Although they may be doing something in North Korea that we just don't know about.
Right.
We don't know about it. So I found this on the internet. It says, Run for Your Lives, Vampire Bat.
What?
A robot adapts to different terrains by folding its wings so it can walk. So these scientists were inspired by the vampire bats in South America to create a robot. It looks exactly like a bat. It has the bat-type body, but the wings fold up into different permutations,
so
I guess, depending on where
they...
It can
walk around, and then when it's done with its biz, it flies away.
Yeah, but it walks in that creepy way.
And that creepy bat wall.
And that creepy bat wall. Like, it scuttles along the floor. They're also working on it being able to take off from a lying down flat on the ground. Kind of like a helicopter.
But then when it lands, does it land, like, upside down and grasp a branch?
I didn't see that they actually made it hang upside down, because I don't think there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
But I like that idea. That's what I would do first.
If they're going to do it right.
So the robot is called the Deployable Air Land Exploration Robot, or DALER. I know. It adapts to different terrains inspired by the vampire bat, and it features a foldable skeleton mechanism covered in fabric.
Ew.
I hope it's not dragon skin, because that stuff is creepy.
Oh, so fabric. So fabric. You're going to now have to wash it. It's going to pill.
You're thinking about the upkeep of it, taking it to the cleaners. How much is that going to cost? With special instructions, just spot clean. And then
it's going to get, after a couple of years, it's going to get kind of ragged. It's going to have holes.
No one's going to be wearing that color anymore. First of all, burlap is out. It features
like
a foldable
skeleton. It's
going to
be like tough skins for bats.
Tough skins. There's going to be some knockoff ones.
Yeah.
The mechanism can be used as both wings and legs, and they're calling it WHEGS. WHEGS. WEGS.
They've got to start putting their noodles to good use and come up with some better names.
I mean, they came up with DALER, which is pretty bad. The approach has been dubbed by French experts as adaptive morphology. It just means that it can be used in different ways, right? It's multi-purpose, people.
Yeah.
Hello. And they hope it could be used to fly to the scene of a natural disaster, of course. Now, first of all...
A
volcano has erupted on my island.
Yeah.
All of my stuff
Your
is in danger.
Your personal island.
My personal island. The last thing I'm going to be looking to the skies for is huge black vampire robots coming at me. I might kill myself. I might be like, it's over.
No, but if you're on your island, they're going to be carrying you away on your throne.
Do you think I'm going to let that pick me up? Do you really? Okay. Like, would you let that pick you up?
I guess. Oh, maybe not. No, I'm talking about your people are going to be carrying you away. Like, you're like, let's get out of here.
No, I was thinking that I thought the vampire is going to swoop down.
No.
I'm going, the vampire bat is going to swoop down.
How big is it?
I have no idea, but I want to know, can it morph into a guy that's debonair?
Are you?
Like in the vampire mythology of yore.
Right. And if there's going to have to be more than one to pick me up. I'll just say right now.
You don't know how big it is. What if it's like the size of a hang glider?
Okay.
And you see,
then one.
The idea is that they're making things that look like animals. And we're used to animals getting away from us, moving away from us.
Wait a minute. If you're talking about a bat the size of a hang glider, and then that walks and flies?
Yes. Now you're creeped out by it. Before you're like, oh, no, this is fine. It'll hang upside down.
I thought it was the size of my fist.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing about what vampire bats do that make them so, fearsome.
Is
that they suck blood.
Out of animals.
Out of animals.
Yeah.
This thing is going to try to suck something out of something. I don't know if it's going to try to suck gas out of my car, mm-hmm. or if it's going to try to
right.
what it's going to do. If I were a robot, another robot, I'd be concerned.
Oh my gosh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Preying upon the other robots.
They've got this thing out, and I looked at the images of it.
If it tries to prey upon my pretty man, my pretty man
what if it attacks my iPad? Just sucks the juice out of that and flies off.
My pretty man is a robot, a companion that you have for Christmas. Oh my God.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty creepy. Mm. So, of course, they're always saying they're hoping to use it to find victims and probably to aid the elderly and to teach children.
Right.
And to help people who have, disabilities, developmental disabilities, like physical problems.
Yes, because what are the four things that robots are always developed for but never used for?
Not to kill people.
No, it's to aid the elderly.
Yeah, search and rescue.
Search and rescue, surgery.
And then something with children. There's always something with children. These could probably pick up a kid pretty easily. And if you got tired of your kid.
Yeah.
Because that's what adults are going to say. You know what? Keep up, Tommy. See what happens. Yeah. The robot bat's going to come in.
Come and get you.
So like I said, in the future, they're hoping to make it hover.
Ew.
I know. And to be able to take off autonomously so that you can send the robot bat over to somebody's car. It can drain the car and then fly back to you.
Oh, my God.
I'm using it for theft.
Yeah.
For the car that I don't have. But anyway, I was trying to say that
I'll pick up your groceries.
I watched the video of it, and the way that it crawls is extremely creepy. It looks like that Dracula movie from the 90s.
Nice.
It's very, very creepy. Like, I'm just imagining this thing crawling along the floor and then crawling up a wall, and then all of a sudden you've got some kind of Willem Dafoe madness in your house.
And then it's, oh my God.
So that's it, the adaptive morphology of the dollar.
Oh, well, coming your way soon this year.
Flying your way soon. All right, what do you have?
I have here, we want to keep talking about creatures.
Sure.
Let's talk about natural creatures with blood and bones and feathers.
Okay, this is a science podcast now. Yeah, I have some natural creature stuff, too.
Yeah,
this is a real creature.
This is a real creature. This is called the blue-tit bird. It's a common inhabitant of the city of Vienna.
Okay.
And it says how light pollution may affect the love life of these birds.
So they can't get
Viennese
it on?
Forest.
They're complaining?
Artificial light in cities, shines out into the forest. So they have this, the light shines at night and it kind of disturbs the natural biorhythms of animals that reside in the forest. So with
I like the idea of an animal not just living but residing. It sounds like a choice was made. Look. We summer in the trees. Right?
Their circadian rhythms are being influenced by this artificial light. So they were studied over a period of 3 weeks. LED lights illuminated different parts of the forest, and they wanted
to see how
birds...
Wait, it was already screwed up for them, and now these guys come in and are shining a light on them.
Now they're doing this to see what.
If I were the birds, I'd be like, you know what, piss off, I'm out of here. I'm doing it in the light. Check me out.
And it affected the patterns such as singing, mating behavior, growth, and development of the nestlings.
Mm-hmm.
The nestlings. That's a good name for a band.
I like that, the nestlings. So we've got now the Whipfather, Dull Unit, and the nestlings. We got a tour.
Yeah.
Okay.
The stress hormones were affected.
Wouldn't you be stressed out if you were trying to get it on with your respective man or woman
Absolutely.
Bird? And someone's putting the light on you?
All right. So,
on
but
your
here's
kids?
The thing, though,
in
also.
Your home?
One of the things is that we assume the light at night affects the bird's strategies for choosing partners. Males, for instance, like to be in the limelight.
Okay.
Where the
but that's not good for the women because they're like, oh, man, now that I see him. That's not what I thought that tail feather was all about. Ellen, are you saying this? Forget it. Let's get out of here.
Females prefer to remain in the dark. What else is new, right? Thus, light might exert different effects on the love lives of the different sexes.
Might make it easier for the dudes to find the ladies.
Well, the male blue tits are morning singers.
Okay.
And the particularly fit male starts singing pre-dawn.
Okay.
It's like, come on.
Well, everyone else is sleeping in.
It's like, ah!
Sleeping it off.
Yeah. We know that the female blue tits tend to be unfaithful to their partners, but do so covertly.
Okay. So, so this is like the early bird gets the snatch? Is that what the situation
Basically.
Here? Okay.
Therefore, we want to find out.
To put it in a scientific way.
Right. So, with the light affecting the way the males sing, the males are singing at different times, and the females who are unfaithful used to do it... in the dark, and now it's late. They're like, wait.
Are you kidding me?
I want to see Charles again.
Somebody's going to catch a case when they get back to the nest.
Right, where have you been? Right.
Whose feather is this?
Yeah. So this is what's happening. I mean, with the cities growing, pushing out further and further into the forest.
The birds can no longer get away with it.
Yeah. They're cheaters.
But are they still, I mean, are they still having little eggs? I mean, are they still, like, producing eggs?
They're still producing eggs.
Because if this disrupts the moral, social fabric of the bird society, of course, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But if it's just a bunch of female birds being like, okay, now you know about Charlie.
Yeah. It's going to be like a little Jerry Springer show in there pretty soon. Whereas there wasn't one before.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I have another thing about a bunch of animal stuff here. Bizarre. Okay, so I don't know if you've ever seen a manatee before.
I've seen a manatee. Yeah, they're big.
They're big. They're sea cows. They used to somehow be people used to see them in the water, like sailors, and think that they were mermaids. It's now, if you've seen these, that's offensive to mermaids.
Somebody in the face.
And they're like, I thought that was you. No, it wasn't me.
I saw a manatee at the aquarium, and I talked to the keeper, whoever he was. I said, you know, do they hurt you? I mean, like, if you got in the tank, what would happen? They're like, oh, they're not going to try to kill you.
Yeah, they might accidentally hurt you.
They will, because they will end up killing you, because they'll want to play with you, and they'll take you down to the bottom of the pool and roll around on the bottom of the floor and crush you to death.
So this makes sense. So sailors were seeing what they thought was a beautiful lady, and they were going down into the water to be with this lady, and then the lady drags them under, which is the myth, right? Yeah. So I've only seen manatees a couple of times. I've seen them in Florida, and I saw them down in Mexico. And they were in an amusement park setting, but they were free to come and go. Mm-hmm. So they would come in, and there were a bunch of tourists standing around. You know, they throw them some food. And I remember one of the tourists was like, well, do they do anything? The guy's like, they just eat the food. I don't know what you want them to do. Like, this isn't a show.
Put in on the ribs.
Yeah, they're coming here to eat. So it says here, 300 manatees closed down Three Sisters Springs. This is down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And for some bizarre reason, on a random Monday in the afternoon, 300 manatees all of a sudden just busted up into a spring. 300 of them. They usually one or two before. They all came into the spring at the same time to swim and frolic. And there were so many of them, they had to close it down.
Oh, my God.
They shut it down. I don't know if it was, this is like a flash mob situation or what happened. But by 1 o'clock, there were 293 manatees. And by 1:30, there were over 300.
Oh my God.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife had to issue a closure of the place. How bizarre.
Nobody but us mermaids here.
I wonder what happened. They're very gentle animals.
Yeah.
And they usually aren't seen in such large numbers. Yeah. But I guess, I don't know, I guess word got out.
Wow.
I like to follow up, since we're on animals, with a little penis news.
Oh.
Penis news. Okay. Didn't expect
this
that.
This is Jaquetta's segment.
Yeah. Hashtag penis news. We talk about the member on the move, dick updates, and we're here to talk about the penis, because they're always in the news.
Always. That's it. They're always in the news.
So this is about polar bear penises.
I've never thought about them.
And there's a lovely picture of a polar bear standing up and then another one looking at his penis. I don't know how they got that shot. I don't know what's going on in the picture.
What do you have going on there?
Yeah. How you doing? You got 90 minutes. That's what the caption is. So it says, we know that climate change is making things hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrible. Oh,
no. Climate change is making things hard for the polar bears. You know, their habitat is melting.
Disappearing.
And now apparently PCBs, which are chemicals that are used in rubbers and plastics, things like that.
It's terrible.
Rubbers. This is getting worse. apparently.
Oh, should I get you a vaudeville cane?
Yes.
Did I say hard?
Can you just pull me off stage?
Did I say rubbers? Da-da-da-da.
So apparently the PCBs, was polychlorinated biphenyls, they are... All of the waste from them is kind of collecting in the polar caps. And apparently, these chemicals are making the penis bone. We're the only animals that don't have a bone in the penis, and thank goodness. But it's making the penis bones go soft for polar bears.
Really?
So first of all, they're losing their habitat. And now, guess what? They're not able to efficiently... do what it is that they need to do. Wow. So they can still do it.
They can still do it, but it's...
But I'm sure they're getting complaints.
Aww.
Yes. How horrible is that? It's like all of these effects of the environment that you don't think about.
So does it affect their other bones?
Nope. So, and this is the weird thing. I don't know who thought, let's check the penis bones.
Wow.
To see if this is affecting the
penis.
I don't know how they came upon that. I don't know how they're testing penis
bones.
You
said came.
I don't know.
Now I need the case.
I don't know how they're testing it. Like, how many penis bones they've been checking out. Do they have a history, like penis bones throughout history? I have no idea.
Well, I would imagine that they're checking the reproductive elements.
How many bears?
Well.
Over how much time? Who is doing this? These are like really, like we have this concept that they are cute. They are not cute.
They're not cute. No,
at
they're
all.
Huge.
And in parts of the world where they roam you, if you don't have a piece on you, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like
in
some places you're required to have a gun or know how to operate a gun if you're going to live in an area where there are polar bears. They will happily eat you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And some of them, you really have to have a powerful rifle.
Yes. And they're not cute at all. At all. There's nothing cute about them.
They don't have a nice temperament.
They don't have a nice temperament. And they're, like I said, they are more than happy to eat you.
Yeah.
Quickly. And now...
Look how fluffy. No.
And now on top of this, soft penis bones. So
now they're really going to have a problem.
They're probably even angrier now.
Oh.
I would be.
Poor guys.
I'd eat two people.
I wonder what happens to the vaginas.
I have no idea. This is the weird thing is that I don't... You know, I love animals and I watch lots of documentaries. I don't watch that many when they're doing the experiments on them, but I'm just wondering who's the guy who's like, you know what we need to test?
The penis
bone strength. Yeah. Yeah, we got to do it. I mean, it sounds funny, a little bit cheeky, hashtag penis news, but it has to get done.
Yeah.
That's not a fun job. That's definitely an intern. So, and that's my my penis news.
Well, way to go.
Or that's some of my penis news.
Save the earth, you guys.
Yeah. You don't want a softie. All right. What do you have?
I have here Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, Tales from the Campfire, my favorite segment, where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost stories, fake lore, folklore, myth, anything about
legends,
the supernatural, legends, and we retell them here around the roaring digital campfire.
Yes.
So gather around, people.
Gather around, listeners. Yeah. This is a little a story about a haunting of a restaurant.
Oh, nice.
I didn't realize it was haunted. It's called...
been there?
I've been there.
Okay.
It's the Brass Rail in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Been there many times, and I didn't realize.
I've never been there.
Yeah, well...
We'd have to go in there and take a reading one day.
We do.
Before we get drunk. Because afterwards, no one's going to believe us. They'll be like, it was you.
Here's the thing. It's like a normal restaurant. There's two floors, and there is kind of a curved staircase that goes up to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said to myself on many occasions, I don't like this staircase.
You just had a bad feeling from
it? I just don't like it. It just is a little weird going up there. Just I feel like I'm going to fall down.
It's off-putting.
You really have to, and you know, as when you're younger and you go running up the stairs, sometimes you don't hold the handrail. I'm always holding the handrail.
Oh, wow.
No matter what.
And you're
staircase.
Not a fearful person about heights and things like that.
No, I can just go. Anyway,
normally, except in this case. When the handrail is haunted.
So this is, it's on Washington Street in Hoboken. It opened around the turn of the 20th century and has been for many years known for its raspberry beer. Remember, we would go there. That's great.
So far, so good. Not haunted. Nothing paranormal about that.
Yeah, in the 70s and 80s, it would be frequented by many poets and...
really?
During an emerging literary...
80s poets.
Yeah. Yeah, they would hang out and drink and discuss their art, and that was a place to go. It was closed down because it burned down. There was a devastating fire caused by a careless smoker.
That's so bizarre. How does that... I think you just have to. It's carelessness, but it's also just bad luck on the part of a restaurant. You know what I mean? Because I've been in so many places where someone has dropped a cigarette and it smoldered a little bit, and they've caught it. Like that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, but this building has been there for a very long time. Before that,
so this is in downtown Hoboken.
Yeah, downtown.
Okay. So there's a lot of older buildings in downtown Hoboken. Very beautiful buildings. So.
Yes, and so when it snows, it really looks like another place in time. Now here's the legend.
A little bit upset that I haven't gone there.
I'll take you there.
Okay.
Look at it next time.
See how I listened to that, people.
According to the legend, on their wedding day, this was in 1904.
Okay.
The bride of the newlywed couple, they got married and they approached the top of the spiral staircase. She tripped and she fell down the staircase from the second floor, broke her neck and died.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The groom.
And that probably took some time, judging by the way you described
it. Yeah, yeah.
She like it was like a Carol Burnett type of thing.
It was. It must have been like
that's
that,
so
only
bizarre.
A little more
I hope no one was laughing and then was like, oh, snap. Her neck.
Oh my God, Jaquetta.
I'm on point today.
The groom was devastated.
Today's brought to you by Angry Orchard. Yes. Crisp, hard apple cider.
Oh, my gosh. The groom was devastated by the loss of his new wife and began drinking heavily.
Okay. As I am right here with this angry orchard.
Yeah. After drinking his last drink, he hanged himself in the room adjacent to the staircase.
They left him alone?
Yeah. They found at the bar area where he sat was a suicide note. Now that my wife was taken from me, there's no reason for me to live.
Oh, that's very a tough sad one.
So near and along the circular staircase, spirits of the couple, as well as others, are reported.
Other people died on the staircase?
They're apparently the wedding party. I don't know why they're coming back. Nobody else died there, but they're coming back.
The bridesmaids are angry about the dress that they wore for no reason.
Really? Chartreuse?
Yes. And the guys are just there for support.
Yeah, right. It has been reported as the site of a variety of supernatural and bizarre happenings. It's not just the bride who wanders up and down it's the spirits of the bride that wanders up and down the staircase.
Oh, that's creepy.
And then the groom as well. Despairing groom.
Okay.
By the way.
Drunken.
Other wedding guests. Witnesses.
The caterer. The guy who drove the carriage.
Hey, where are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wah, wah. Let me float up this piece a couple times.
The witnesses are typically the servers at the Brass Rail. They claim they have seen the ghosts of the couple, usually late at night when they're cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
Other bizarre occurrences have happened include phone calls with no one on the other line.
Well, did they have phones back then? Okay.
Back in the 80s. Hey.
No, this is like in 1904.
I know. Right? Oh.
Not in the 80s. You were the poets again. Are they on there as well?
A trace falling to the ground, hearing voices, and misplacement of items.
That just sounds finger stuff.
I will say, every single time I've eaten there, trays do fall.
Really?
Like a giant tray. Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
But you had a bad feeling about the staircase as well.
The staircase, yeah, I didn't think anything about the trays, but the staircase I never liked.
Just even like the cut of its jib.
And so apparently every October there's a paranormal activity group likes to come by and do an investigation.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We should go. We get a meal out of it as well.
Yeah.
And see if I can...
Yeah, and they said...
If we get drunk enough, you'll find us lying at the bottom of the stairs.
Oh, no. The last time there was a reading, they didn't get any voices or any real video, but then they saw wisps of smoke going up the stairs, and there was no smoke in the area.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Some local...
tales.
Some local tales from their camper. I just want to follow...
And they have great fries.
More importantly.
And French onion soup.
Great fries.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, every once in a while I report on reality TV. This is the follow-up on the Tales from Dirt Campfire. If you couldn't get enough of dating naked, I could get enough of that, and buying naked, which is where people go looking for a home nude.
Oh, come on.
Right. Now we've got some good news for you. Naked ghost hunting is on its way.
All right.
At least judging from an email from U.S. production company Matador, they are seeking participants of a new show which, according to the report, will see people take part in paranormal activity without any clothing on. For this paranormal investigating show, we are putting a different spin on paranormal investigating, and we are looking for people and or teams that would be interested in taking paranormal investigating to the next level.
They're going to get down to
getting nude.
They're getting down to the bare bones of this haunting.
This is the real naked and afraid.
Yeah. Well, they want to see things with their naked eye.
I just don't it's fine if they want to. Why don't we just have a nude channel so that they can put all this stuff on there? Like, nude, because they already have nude news. I think they've had it in Canada for a while. Like, just do the whole nude thing.
Yeah, get
nudes, rednecks, a wedding, some kind of a cooking contest in there. Little People is very popular now as well. Just get it all and get it all together, get it out of your system. So they're going to have different nude teams going around to different, I guess, nude locations. So this is going to have to be in the South. It's going to have to be in the South in the summertime. The company went on to assure that would-be spookbusters that the point of the nudity, it's not just gratuitous, it's not just to look at T and A and P and B. It's to see if people get different readings than they do when they are clothed. So they want to see how the spirits react to butt-ass nakedness.
Didn't I say, ghosts always appear with clothes on?
Well, maybe they can get the ghost to appear nude as well.
All right.
This says, the show is not about putting it in a bad light, causing drama, or making fun of the paranormal. So this is a serious nude investigation.
Okay.
I feel bad making fun of it right now.
You should.
Because they've clearly put it out there. The idea...
They're doing good work. This is on the frontier.
It says they're going to blur out the private parts, which I think is BS.
Yeah.
But now why am I watching it? The idea was brought to our company after research on paranormal investigation teams. They researched paranormal investigation teams throughout history doing investigations in the nude. I don't think any of this is true. And they want to see if their reasoning for doing it in the nude really does get the spirits to communicate easier.
What is it? You know, you're just going to get some pervy spirits.
Well...
coming up from the grave. Hey, it's all dirty old man spirits.
I guess so. It says they're going to debut it on Lifetime. You know, TV for women.
Yeah.
And they're going to have another show called Back to Nature. Oh, sorry, they don't have a title for it. But it's a show that follows six pregnant women as they head back to nature to give birth in the wilderness.
No thanks.
If you're not biting off the umbilical cord and tying it yourself... I'm not interested.
No kidding.
Why
are you doing that? That's.
But it's quite clear to me that you can have a baby without anybody around. Otherwise, no one. You know, we never would have made it this far.
That's very true. But people died. People died also doing this.
But why do this?
The mortality rate was very high doing that.
What is the
babies died and women died doing that?
You could do, and a lot of people do natural birth. Now, you have to go out in the woods to do it.
Right.
You can go to a birthing center.
Yeah, you don't have to have the epidurals. You don't have to. If you don't want to.
If you don't want to,
you could have it as you want.
You could have it in a different environment besides a hospital. I understand a lot of people don't want to be in a hospital setting for this event. That's fine. You know, you can go to a birthing center. You can do it at other places.
But you also have to be ready. You'll have to have plan B ready if something goes wrong. Because a lot of things go wrong. That's why they have it in hospitals now. Because people die.
But I'm wondering, where are they going to do this? And how is it going to be of interest?
Oh, God.
So bizarre.
No, I don't want to watch these women.
I didn't enjoy watching the quote-unquote miracle of life in seventh grade. I don't want to see that. If I wanted to see that, I'd be a doctor. I don't know.
it's too much. And in the woods, too. No, thanks.
I think it would be interesting if they are, you know, doing something like, if you're in this situation.
I can barely, go go to the bathroom in the woods.
I have no problem with that. That's comfortable. I prefer that, actually, I have to say. Than to some toilets I've seen.
Well, sure. You know. But still, I'd rather have a nice, you know.
A toilet.
Some
water.
Running water. A nice,
some kind of soap.
A nice a toilet paper.
A place to put one's feet.
Right. A door.
Yeah. A door.
Privacy.
Roof. But I mean, I could see it if it's like...
Some potpourri.
Yes.
About.
Some poopery, if you will. But I think it's okay if you, because every once in a while, a cab driver has to deliver a baby, or you know, you're in situations where you do have to deliver a baby. That could be informative. Like, here are things that you could do to make the situation better. But some lady is month 12, basically, going out into the middle of nowhere to give birth. I don't know how interesting this
is. I enjoy helping if I don't have to do anything. For instance.
When I need help, I don't often need help, but when I do, I ask Katie.
I say, oh, look at that person. I saw a woman broke her leg. She went down a slide.
Oh, no.
And was not ready.
A slide?
A slide.
Like a water slide?
No, a playground for little kids. She decided to
go down.
How
did she break her leg?
Because she was just not.
She forgot how it goes. I mean, come on.
No, she just was one of those women who just doesn't move around a lot. Doesn't exercise. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just a very conservative, she's wearing a skirt, like a long skirt.
Mm-hmm. So she just thought, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Was she high?
No, not at all. She was just a very conservative lady. And she thought, oh, isn't this fun? Went down, mm-hmm. pop, we heard it.
Oh,
and
my God.
And she was like, oh, my God. And
then you took a selfie and left.
Yes, smiling. Look at no, but I was somebody was trying to call 911 and couldn't quite do it because he was panicked. So I'm like, give me the
phone. Sorry. You can't dial 911. Leave Earth. if it hasn't happened to you.
Well, he was too emotionally close to the situation.
It was her. It was a friend
of hers? Cold-hearted. Yeah.
Whereas you were dispassionate.
I was able.
You felt as if you were watching on a screen in a room somewhere else.
Yeah. So I was able to call 911, and then also...
You're like, a Republican fell. Bye. That's the report.
And then
conserved woman down.
When the police and the ambulance showed, I waved them in. Come here, it's over here.
Yeah. You were nowhere near it. It was a woman like, please, young lady with the blonde hair and the wonderful smile, please help. You're like, I'm calling someone else to help you because I'm not qualified.
See, so I helped without doing anything. And that's exactly what I mean.
But you did more than that asshole who was like, I hit 9-1. Oh, what's the next one?
Oh, he's like, going, he's like, we're here in the park. I don't know. You know what?
We're in the park. We're in New York City in a park.
That's why when I'm in a park, I always know where the streets are. Like, that, you know, 72nd Street is the closest entrance.
So. I think you should always know where you are in general in a city. But, I mean, just saying I'm in a park is not...
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like, where are you? I'm on a street. It's an avenue, actually, if that
it's
helps.
A long block.
Yeah. It's in the city.
I was walking forever.
Yeah. How long did you have to stay with the Republican?
I stayed until, they're enough... people showed up to help and do the actual taping up of the leg, and that I was confident that they would take her out safely.
Now, did she thank you?
She didn't have to. She said,
I'm just kidding.
Leg is broken. What are you kidding?
She's like, thank you for calling 911 and standing very far away.
And then she kissed my ring.
Yes. Ring. And then you flew off.
Right.
I like that story. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, I like the idea of helping without doing anything, too. Yeah. I think that's very appropriate.
If you've ever helped without doing anything,
let us know.
Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We'll read your story.
Yeah, or if you've just booked it out of there.
Yeah.
There's times when I've seen something happen and I've determined it's okay, and I'm like, and exit.
All right, tell us a story where you helped and you actually did something. We'll read that, too.
Yeah, we don't have any experience with that, but we'd like to read what other people do when they help people.
So we know what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, if ever the occasion comes up.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to penis news here. What? Because, I'm going back to penis news. And this is mashup day.
Okay.
This is penis/robot news. So Hashtag penis news, member on the move, another doubleheader. Okay. So this thing is called the Shock Spot, and it looks like a super soaker. Imagine a super soaker in the future.
Oh, no.
It produces...
I'm dreading what you're going to read here.
Well...
Because if this is penis news and you say super soaker...
Yeah. Well, that might have been the wrong term to use. But it produces 18 pounds of thrust, if that helps.
Oh.
It makes it the most advanced robotic F*** king system in the world. So basically, it's a high-tech teledildonic contraption. That's right. We're talking about teledildonics, people.
Okay.
Teledildos, basically. Teledildonics is the study, I guess,
okay.
Or the field of. The contraption is described as a Rolls Royce of sex machines. It lets a lonely man thrust into an artificial vajayjay. And then on the other side, a robot dildo penetrates a webcam girl in time to the guy's thrust.
Okay.
Supposedly.
Right.
Because if I were the webcam girl, I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're hitting it hard. And I would be nowhere near that thing.
Right.
So it's a partnership.
It's like the girl's like, you see her face. Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's
and
huge.
Then cut to
yes.
Someone else's.
She's ironing.
Yeah.
So it's a partnership between some webcam porn site and this robot, this company that's made the Shock Spot. It's a robotic penis. It's synced with a vibrating fleshlight vagina over the internet so the webcam girls can have quote-unquote have sex with people online. So this has been I'll not use what I was going to say because it's too much of a pun. It has been years in the making.
Yeah.
This
Thank
has
you.
Been we talked about this idea that people would be able to have sex through the internet
without
actually dealing with people at all, but they're saying that the women have to be quite brave because the Shock Spot produces 18 pounds of thrust.
Oh.
Now, if you're doing it with a person who is a professional webcam girl or, you know, a professional sex worker on the other side, what does she care how much is in there?
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
acting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you are, I'm imagining some guy just vigorously going at it with this robotic vajayjay and then nothing is happening on the other side.
Right.
Like, nothing. He's just hitting it hard.
Oh.
He's going to town.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's playing Genuine in the background. He's all like, yeah. But there's nothing happening at all. It's just a guy sleeping with a very expensive piece of tinfoil.
Oh, my God. God.
It says here the it's called the V or the Shock Spot. The V. Okay, so the guy who runs one of the webcam porn sites, the COO, said he showed it off. It says that it senses a man's thrust. So I guess he tried out both parts. I don't know how. And it said that it in fact does bump and grind in time. So as the guy is doing his thing,
the machinery reacts
to it. What it does is it monitors your motion and transfers it to a USB drive that's plugged into your computer. Once again,
let me
see this plugged in when I come over to anyone's house.
Oh my God, not interested
in seeing it at all. Up until now, people have thrust into their fleshlights, and then they had a computer-controlled porn stars respond virtually on the screen.
Okay.
Now the dudes think they're actually responding. Yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Attached.
But it's not really happening.
I don't think it's really happening. It looks like some weird kind of contraption. They're saying it's high tech, but does this look like 1980 view?
Yeah.
It looks very
Tron.
Yes, it looks like Tron. It looks very low tech. And it looks like it could be a freeze ray of some kind or an early doomsday device.
Yeah, right.
Like, it doesn't look sexual.
Yeah, right. It looks like Dr. Freeze's gun.
Yes, it looks like Dr. Freeze's gun. Okay. There are a lot of, like, you know, knobs and buttons on it. I can't think of anything less sexy, but hey.
If that's we'll what see. They need.
It's just interesting to me because. So the guy is delivering a thrust to somebody who is paid to receive it.
Yeah.
I wonder how it feels for the guys. That's not really discussed in the article.
They don't say how it feels
for the guys. It's saying it simulates it for this woman who is receiving on there. But what does she care?
Yeah.
For
because who's paying for it? It's like the guy that wants
the guy
to do
is
it.
Paying for it, right? So who knows if it actually works or if we've just got some fantastic actresses on the other side paying off student loans, making car payments.
Let me guess.
Yes, and et cetera. So that's the end of my penis news.
Wow.
All right. What do you have?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here rap advice.
Okay. You know, Katie and I love to rap.
We do.
When we're not recording this, we're frequently caught having rap battles.
I remember there was one day where we came into the studio and a rapper who was there before us.
Yes.
Left his rap notebook.
Yep.
And which we took and read.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought it back.
We returned it.
Because it was clearly, there was a lot of work that went into
yes.
it.
Yes.
And I can't.
And a lot of work that needed to go into it.
There was their ideas. I mean, it all didn't have to be gold.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't.
There was some in there.
There's some pewter in there, some gold.
My pimp cup don't need no coaster.
Yeah.
That was one line I'll never forget.
And we like that because that's responsible.
Yes.
When you go over to someone's home with your pimp cup, you don't need to leave a pimp cup ring.
No.
On their furniture.
His is all right. It doesn't, there's no condensation.
So maybe it has a little felt on the bottom.
Probably. Anyway, so I found 21 helpful quick ways to improve your raps.
Really? Quick?
Just quick.
Because in my mind, rapping is very difficult. And it's like poetry.
It is, yeah.
So I don't know how, okay, let's see.
And so keep a small spiral bound notebook on hand at all times.
Why spiral bound?
Because turn the pages.
Time machine needed for this. Yeah, okay. It needs to lay flat.
You don't want to lose the notes. Some MCs carry mini recorders, but pocket-sized notebooks should be enough, really. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And don't leave it behind. Or else in the studio, because people are going to take it home and read it.
If we ever find a rap again, we're going to rap it. We're going to throw it out.
So enunciation is a tough thing. It's tough here. Yes. It's tough when we speak.
As in rap, as in life.
And so in rap, it's double tough.
Yeah. Because you got
to
be fast.
You have to be fast, and they have to have, like, certain kind of cadence to you.
Yeah.
And so they say to practice tongue twisters, especially those with S's and B's.
Really?
Sally sold seashells by the seashore. That's a hard one.
I'm imagining rappers before going on, be like, how now, brown cow?
Yes.
Flippity-jibbity, you know, like these kind of things.
So they say also say abadi.
Why?
Fast and continuously. Remember to have clear and clean breaks between syllables.
Okay.
It trains you to clearly pronounce every syllable when rhyming fast.
Okay.
Abadi, 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 abadi.
Wow. You
abadi.
Could, you know what?
Abadi.
Quit your day job. With confidence.
Practice opening your mouth and exaggerating to an exaggerated degree when speaking.
Okay.
Oh. If you have trouble staying on beat and or keeping rhythm,
get out the game, son. You're done. Peace.
You speak to very rhythmic music, like Mary Had a Little Lamb. So get that music going and just try to speak to that.
Oh, okay.
Is your voice too crunk?
Is your voice too crunk? Is that what you said?
If it's too quiet, you have to.
A quiet rapper?
You have to practice reading out loud and as loud as you can.
I keep it real. It
might annoy your roommates and parents, mm-hmm. but the skill is without a doubt necessary for rocking a mic and recording in a studio.
I mean, yeah, you should be able to be heard.
Yeah, so just speak as loud as
I mean, don't destroy it. Don't distort yourself.
Right. Think fast, write fast. That should be your motto.
Okay. No, I got scared. I'm like, think fast. I thought you were going to throw something at me.
Right. Memorize, don't read your rhymes when recording.
Yes.
So memorize them.
Who? I've never in my life seen a rapper reading off paper.
Yeah.
That's more of a comedian thing.
Yeah.
What was I going to talk about here? Oh, bitches. Okay. Bitches. Oh, I'm sorry. It was biatches. Excuse me. Can I start again? Sorry.
Drink water, not milk, before recording.
Oh, really? There's a lot of rappers out there hitting the calcium?
Yeah.
Is that a problem in the rap community?
I'll record
osteoporosis.
Record in the dark. Record at home.
So no one can see you.
Because certain lights, such as fluorescent lights, cause electrical interference with the environment that leads to the humming sound appearing in your vocals.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so try to turn off that light.
Yeah, we got plenty of lights on in the Hayden Owen studios. Some of them play music.
Yes,
in the background.
Yeah, don't lose hunger, write every day. That's good for...
Don't lose who?
Your hunger.
Oh, your hunger, okay.
It was rumored that Tupac's favorite song was the theme from Les Mis. I don't know what the theme was.
I like Tupac. That's weird.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're another day older.
Or is it One More Day, that one?
Yeah.
I like Master of the House. Could he even like that?
Could he guess? Probably. Become an expert in hip-hop, please.
I'm just imagining Tupac talking about there is a castle on a cloud.
Yeah. A little fall of rain can hardly hurt me now.
Yes.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
We often talk about different religions.
Yeah, we do.
And we're
not against, like, if you want your religion, do it.
All right, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just thought this was one that we neglected.
Oh,
and
what?
I wanted to be fair to everybody.
Okay.
Satanism.
Oh.
Not what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
At all. So basically, the Church of Satan was founded in 1966 by a guy who called himself Sandor LaVey. I say called himself because he wasn't born with that name. Religion started in San Francisco and it's spread throughout the world. So
why did he pick that name?
I don't know. Maybe he just didn't like the name that he came with.
Right.
He was quite a dramatic guy.
Okay.
I'll put it that way.
All right.
He did burlesque shows.
All right.
He did a little stand-up here and there. Like, he did a lot of different things. So the first thing that I learned is that Church of Satan, they're all atheists.
They don't even believe that there's a God.
They don't believe that there's a God, but they believe that Satan embodies some positive qualities that are left out of a lot of religions.
Wow. Isn't Satan supposed to have all the negative qualities?
Well, according to a lot of world religions, but according to Satanism, they're saying that Satan has a lot of good qualities, like, for example, self-preservation. They promote being responsible to yourself and to other people around you, not to a deity, per se. Pride, liberty, and a lot of human traits that a lot of religions consider to be inappropriate. Not wrong, inappropriate.
Yeah, gotta...
Like pride,
you gotta...
Sex, lust... Mm-hmm. Things like that they consider to be, so anything that is a normal human emotion, nothing that you have to go out there and act on it.
Every minute of the day.
Every minute of the day.
Just be like, hey, why don't we just, tone it down into a way.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Like, So Satanists want to end the struggle between religious policy and the conflict of just being a human.
Okay.
Right? So, for example, like, you envy. It's like, all right, go ahead and envy. You don't have to do anything about it. Right. But it's not the end of the world.
But you don't have to, like, hate yourself.
No.
Because that you're envious or yeah. you're, like, so basically, feeling lusty or something.
Yeah, you don't have to feel guilt over what they consider to be natural human
impulses. Yeah.
Impulses that don't. You don't act on those impulses. It's up to you. They also believe that we have free will and that there's no fate. So you're really responsible for what you do. It's kind of a tough one. You got to make your own decisions and you got to be responsible for those decisions.
Wow. If you really truly believe that there was no fate, like, you know, there's no coincidences, there's no serendipitous things that happen for a reason, blah, 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 the stars don't align,
yep.
you know.
You really got to take control of what you're doing.
Yep.
Like, it's all you. So basically, a great deal of what traditional religions consider to be evil and carnal that are attributed to Satan, that's why they're Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
So they're picking up all the other stuff. And it's a surprisingly free and tolerant religion. I guess, why not?
Yeah.
You know, like, what do they care? So holidays and rituals, they celebrate a lot of the same things that we talk about pagans.
Mm-hmm.
So they celebrate equinox and solstices that happen to be at the same time as a lot of Christian holidays.
Everybody's trying to get on the holiday bandwagon.
Everybody's rolling
every
up on. Yeah. So they do the equinox and they do the solstice and they coincide with Christian holidays. So it may seem like they're celebrating those holidays, but as we know the history of those holidays,
mm-hmm.
they're actually celebrating them the way that they used to be celebrated, but without the animistic part of it. So they're not worshiping a tree, but they're happy the tree is there.
Yeah.
They're happy to dance around it.
Okay.
So what else was I going to say? So they have rituals, but all of the rituals are done just so you feel better. They're saying there's no significance to these rituals. So if you do like a cleansing ritual or a dance, it's just to make yourself feel better.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the end of the
thing. Let me guess. Is their religion, do they have a tax-free status?
I don't know about that. Probably, if they're registered as a church. But, I mean, it's hard to make money as a church unless you have a huge membership, which they do not. But they do have an altar that is a live nude woman pointing south.
Live?
Yes. A live nude woman with her head pointing south. She's an altar of flesh. And then they... it's not really common anymore, though. They're not doing it. This started, like, in the 60s.
So, like, this is just for an occasion.
Yeah, for an occasion.
Like,
it's not like every Saturday you come in the same, you know, Felicia's like, there. Pointing
Felicia's
south.
Gotten a lot of work on this show.
Yes. She's naked. She's pointing south. Male members wear traditional black hooded or cowled robes. I don't know why.
Okay.
Older women wear all black. Young women sport revealing garb.
Okay.
For the rituals.
But why are they like older women covering up? Shouldn't they be like, well...
No, they didn't say they were... They didn't say they covered up. They just said they were all black.
Okay.
Which I would probably wear anyway.
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually wearing all black right now.
Yes. But it's
but
not revealing.
I'm not a Satanist.
It's not revealing. And you're not old. So all... It says all members wear an amulet with a pentagram.
I'm just aging.
You're aging gracefully.
Yes.
It says that the Church of Satan recommends the following films. Blue Velvet.
Oh.
Blade Runner.
What?
Fantasia.
No.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Why?
The original Bedazzled, The Wicker Man, and Citizen Kane, which is one of my favorite movies.
I like the second Bedazzled and the first Willy Wonka. Is that okay?
They also have had some really famous members. Jane Mansfield was a high priestess.
No,
you
really?
Know she was the altar.
She died
in a car accident.
And her head was, she was beheaded.
Yeah. And her daughter was there.
Wow.
Marilyn Manson was also a member. Liberace. And Sammy Davis Jr. So
no.
I don't know if this is before or after his conversion to Judaism or what happened there, but
really?
He was a member of the church as well. They are not into magic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that you should practice what's called white or black magic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. So that separates them, I guess, from some pagans. And they said, but you can enjoy magic.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to a show. You can be a magician. You can have fun with it. But you have to remember that it's just, you know, it's just another thing for fun.
Yeah.
Right? So they think there are kinds of magic, but it's fooling people is one kind of magic. So being persuasive is one kind of magic. And then another kind of magic is just like, you know, chilling out and thinking positively. But not in a religious sense of the word.
Okay.
Very interesting.
That's weird.
Their religion, they tried to get into the public school system because they found out that somewhere in Florida, some Christian churches were giving out Bibles. So they were like, hey, we want to get about our thing. And that didn't go over well. But then they made an anti-bullying, pro-compassion, pro-freedom, and pro-friendship book of activities, coloring book, and that got into the schools.
Oh, really? Okay.
Doesn't say, and it says that the children basically should be allowed to practice Satanism and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but it was all anti-bullying, which is probably confusing for people. Because they're for compassion.
Right. Okay.
So the guy who started it, this is him, quite dramatic guy, Anton Chandler.
Yeah, he's sporting, he's bald, and he has
a goatee. And he's dressed like a vampire.
He has a cape on, and he has there's a red light above him. He's going to either develop film.
Yes. Or he's going to play a part of the devil in a film. So this guy, he started out giving weekly lectures for $2 a piece. And then a guy came along and was like, dude, we could do this a lot better. So they made an organization, and they, you know, they made it quite theatrical with instruments and all this kind of stuff, strippers and the macabre. So it was more like he was doing a variety show.
Okay.
I don't know how serious he was about starting a religion.
But he did. I think that, yeah.
Unfortunately,
nobody sets out to start a religion.
Yeah, no one sets out to be the beginning of a religion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the beliefs that he had made him a target, so his family was often threatened with death. Women in his family were threatened with rape from other religions.
Oh, how nice. Yeah. That's religious.
His home was vandalized and shot at. One of his daughters, who became a spokesperson, had to leave the church because she was so persecuted. So they were, and some of them were, two of the people in this group were tried for animal torture and all these kind of things. They were released like 20 years later. So the charges were false, but they had been targeted. So they were, you know, they were oppressed, like any religion.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They were the subject of oppression. So the church is still around today. It's not as popular as it used to be, but it's out there. You can join it. Or they're saying, don't join it and just be it.
Yeah.
You know? You can join for one time for the rest of your life for $200. They have a website, and it says, if you feel you need to know how your money will be used in more detail, don't give it to us. I mean, this makes them the opposite of every religion I've ever heard of. I have never been to any religious thing where they've been like, hey, if you're concerned about where this is going, just keep it.
Yeah.
And just be.
Yeah.
Just do your thing.
Have a nice life.
I thought it was going to be all like evil and goat feet and, you know, horns and jumping around and black masses and all this kind of stuff. And it's just a bunch of people, I guess, getting together
and just being.
Being and doing their thing. And that's Satanism. Different from paganism. Much more different than I thought.
Right.
So
interesting.
Yeah, just a little piece of information. We like to give a, you know, I'm interested in this kind of stuff.
Yeah, we're
equal
of the world, and we just kind of like talking about everybody.
Who knew?
I thought it was surprised.
Yeah, $200. Lifetime membership.
Yeah,
don't worry about where it's going. Don't worry about it. And that's Satanism. And they look, I actually check out the website. It actually looks like something that if you were a student, you'd be like, all right, yeah, woo.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a band. And then you start looking at it more, you're like,
oh, I'm being compassionate and
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, compassion, pride, anti-bullying. I'm out of here.
I need control.
I'm out of here.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Vivaldi, man. Keep it real.
It was rumored that Tupac's favorite song was the theme from Les Mis. I don't know what the theme was.
I like Tupac. That's weird.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you're another day older.
Or is it One More Day, that one?
Yeah.
I like Master of the House. Could he even like that?
Yes, probably. Become an expert in hip-hop, please.
I'm just imagining Tupac talking about there is a castle on a cloud.
Yeah. A little fall of rain can hardly hurt me now.
Yes.